Welcome to the podcast for empathy and imagination. I'm Aubrey.
I am Drew Clark.
Here we are, episode 3. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for Final Corp.
Mm-hmm. Thank you to Final Corp. Thank you to the listeners.
Let's get underway, shall we?
Thank you very much. So what was that song? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
That was a song called 60 Watts from just a song I did a while, some years ago.
Cool. I think it was sounding really cool. Maybe if we're fortunate, we could hear the rest of that song later.
I was thinking that that's kind of something we did last episode, and it might be a cool thing to do in general, is kind of tease a song at the beginning and then play that song all the way through in the intermission, quote unquote.
I like that. I like it. I like it. Aubrey, may I ask, how are you doing today? How is your day? How are you feeling?
I'm doing great. My day's been pretty good. Got some work done. Breathed in the free air of a new day.
Nice.
Feeling good. My week was good. My day was good. Thought of some topics. Mm. A little bit more preparation this time around. Mm-hmm. Something you mentioned quickly before the podcast was buttons or zippers.
Yeah, I
did. I think that's a good impromptu topic. Maybe we could talk about that.
That'd be nice. Thank you. I'd love to, and I'd like to let the listeners know first that we are here again on the patio. It's the sun's kind of going down. It's pretty comfortable out here. We're by the garden, and we have my dog Inferno and a new dog that we're in the process of adopting, and he may make noise, so you might hear him then. Yeah, so welcome everybody to the patio.
And welcome.
Buttons or zippers? What do you prefer? I just thought of that. And I think it's zippers. I think buttons look cool under certain applications, but I think I prefer the utility of a zipper.
Mm. The zipper is cool. The zipper has the failure, it has one failure point, right?
Mm-hmm. The jamming?
The button scenario has, you have kind of backups. If you have a shirt and one button goes, you can still the shirt can be kind of sealed.
You can, yeah, true.
But first, if your zipper, bottom of the zipper breaks off, it's well. That's the end of that zipper.
Yeah.
So I think there are trade-offs, and that's probably why both of them are still around.
That does make sense. And then there's, of course, the snap.
The snap and the fastener?
And the fastener, yeah. Probably in the future it'll be also magnet and or other cool things I don't understand. When you have a Velcro but you don't have to pay for it, and it calls the hook and loop tape. As long as you don't call it Velcro.
Right.
You don't have to pay.
That's hook and loop tape.
Hook and loop tape.
Yeah. I mean, button fly, not a big fan.
It's kind of sexy or something.
Something, maybe. Yeah.
It's oh, you got to undo the buttons to get to what I got. It was, but that's...
A special pair of pants that's button fly. Maybe.
Maybe.
Special occasions.
Yeah.
Button festivals, so forth.
Oh, yeah.
Zipper free zones.
So I'm... my doctor has prescribed a medication for me that... they call cannabis, and I think I was going to take some of my medicine.
It's a canned medicine?
No, cannabis is it's a flower that does a lot of different things, and but it kind of, in general, it seems to just sort of help cells do things, and that's why it's hard to kind of pin down the medical specifics at this point, because it kind of just helps whatever cell it attaches to, and we have natural receptors for tetrahydrocannabinol. So, yeah, it's just it's warm milk,
Welcome to the tunnel of truth, where the truth is in the darkness.
Have you ever watched the Joe Rogan Experience?
I have.
What do you think of that show?
I like Joe Rogan. He's vulgar. That's the thing. We talked about vulgarity in comedy last episode. But yes. He has kick-ass insight.
Yeah, he's
like,
super
he's a good, yeah, he's super smart, and he has good, you know, he has good interview skills, and he has good insight, he knows what questions to ask, and that's kind of what I like about it.
Nice. Have you seen the episode with Peter Joseph?
I have not. That sounds intriguing.
It's my favorite one so far. Peter Joseph is the creator of the Zeitgeist movement, something I enjoy and I advocate for, the Zeitgeist movement. And there was an episode with Peter Joseph on the Joe Rogan Experience, and it was really great. It was a really great episode. And we'll obviously post a link to that episode on YouTube. So check that. It goes really in depth about kind of like the funny parts of why we need to consider a total system shift.
Yeah. I imagine there's some good good concepts being volleyed about on that episode.
Yes.
There's nothing like smart people talking. I wish we had a podcast like that, but we don't.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could do smart people talking?
Yeah, right. There's another thing, the Kevin Pollak chat show.
Oh, what's that?
KPCS, I think. Anyway, he's done a bunch of these, and it's just this actor Kevin Pollak. He's been in he was in some Scorsese film. You'd recognize him if you saw him.
I bet.
Cool guy, actor, and he just has guests on, and they're just sitting at a table, and it's video, and they're sitting at a table talking.
Huh.
That's it.
That's it? The whole show? Yeah.
It's just a two-hour chat, 2 hours plus. Again, he has good insight, too, this guy, Kevin Pollak. So he's a good conversationalist, and he asks good questions. And so it's
a joy to watch.
It's a joy to watch. It's just these two guys having a conversation, or two people having a conversation. And you're kind of, it's captivating because it's something that you don't really see.
That's awesome. Nice. Thank you.
It's strange that you don't really see that nowadays. You know?
Yeah.
There's no media, there's no movie that's just two people having a conversation. I mean, there are, but not in that way.
The spontaneous sort of creative and emotive moment-to-moment experience of like cool banter can be really entertaining.
Yeah. Podcast experience,
vlog.
Call it what you want. It really
vlogcast.
Really, what people are responding to is people having conversations, people talking to each other, listening. Funny. We want to hear stories, and we want to hear people talking to one another.
So, here's an interesting topic. I have a friend who sometimes lives in a motorhome in the streets of Berkeley and Albany. There's these, like, kind of industrial zones where you can sort of park for more than a couple days, and it's not technically against the rules, and people can sort of vagabond, live in their motorhomes. If you move to this other street every few days, you can kind of eke by. And it's a very inexpensive way to live.
Migrant experience.
It's like hyper-migrant, though, because you just go in little triangles.
Right.
And these people are... It's basically nonstop at this point. And I know some of the people who are doing this, and like even part of me considered one. I was like, yeah, how much am I paying in rent versus how much would it be to get a kick-ass thing, like a motorhome thing that's solar panels and... You can reclaim this and biodiesel, blah, 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 blah.
Studio apartment with a kitchen on wheels.
Yeah.
That's really...
Like a tiny house.
That's all you need, right?
Like a tiny house on wheels, self-sustaining.
Yeah.
That's all I really need. Me, my lady, and the dogs. It's like, that's it.
Yeah. Place to sleep. Place to sit.
And I need a place,
to shit.
Yeah. I realize, though, I also need to entertain. It's like, meets a need for me to have people over.
That's why you have the pull-out awning on the side.
Oh, yeah, and you can, like, close it off, but it's like a big dance room kind of a thing.
That would be cool.
That's really cool. So yeah, like there is this bus available. The Sustainable Living Roadshow bus is for sale. And actually, Rebecca and I went to go look at it. Yeah, we went to go look at it. It's fucking beautiful. It's all like reclaimed, like bamboo and mahogany and shit, and it's like beautiful in the inside, except for it's kind of worn. Several tours have gone on in this thing. It's got a 1 kilowatt solar charging system. The whole thing, the engine and the generator, run on biodiesel. It's fucking cool.
How much does biodiesel cost?
You can get diesel 2, which is almost not really, but sort of like biodiesel, for a little bit cheaper than regular diesel usually. And then if you obviously have the 2 containers in the filter system in your garage, people give you their used oil. So that's like, I don't know, hard to say. But it's all possible. And it's all cool. And we were thinking about it and we were talking about it. And it's like, wouldn't it be cool if somewhere near 4th Street, but not exactly too close to where 4th Street is, because I'm sure the very wealthy folks wouldn't enjoy this. So a little bit away from that, we take one of those dangerous warehouses down and we put up an eco-sustainable tiny house village / RV park.
4th Street in Oakland?
Berkeley. Like by the water, Berkeley. Like 2nd Street and, I don't know, Cedar or something like that. You know what I mean? Like way out there.
Right, right. Down in the hinterlands near the freeway.
Mm-hmm. I think it would fill up the first day it opened. And I think people would love the shit out of it.
I could see that. I could see that, and I concede that. I have good topics.
Can I please hear one of your topics?
Games. You ever play games as a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What games did you play as a kid?
I fucking played the
fuck out of it. There's going to be some stages here to when you played what.
Go ahead.
When we played what, when, how, and why. But as a kid, let's say up till like 8 years old. Like tag, hide and seek, peekaboo, right?
Mm-hmm. I definitely played tag. I definitely played hide and seek. I definitely played Red Rover. Send your Red Rover, Red Runner, send your something over, and you try to break the line.
Right.
I always wanted that game. I remember that. That was cool. Well, I'm gigantic, so.
Right. Dodgeball, not so much. I played guns, quote unquote. We used to call it playing guns.
Mm-hmm. Like cowboy shootout.
Yeah, just everyone had a gun, and you would just pretend to shoot each other.
Did you like pretend dying?
Running around in the foothills and mountains of Colorado.
Huh. Sounds fun.
Yeah, it was totally badass. Played guns. Sorry to hijack.
Also, we played. No, it's perfect. I had my friend growing up, one of my closest friends and neighbor. He would come over, and my grandpa had a really huge backyard, and we would play like Wizard and Conan, like Imaginarium game.
Cool.
Like he would play like the wizard guy, and I was like the Conan character, and we like fantasy would play.
Oh, so you're on the same team?
Oh, same team.
Like
we just build the backyard into whatever we wanted.
Nice. Building forts.
Uh huh.
A wizard and a fighter.
Mm hmm.
That segues nice into D&D, which I'm going to bring up.
Please tell me about D&D. My brother played it. I played it with him like twice. I didn't really know what was going on. I don't really consider that I actually played it. I did, but barely. So tell me, what's D&D? What's it about? Why is it important?
I want to answer that question. Can we talk about games growing up a little more? Do you mind?
Absolutely not.
So, yeah, tag and running around games, building fort games, right? Those are the games you played.
Absolutely. So many forts.
And did you play any sports, like get to junior high or high school?
When I was a kid, I played Little League baseball. I played for several years in a row. I had several positions. I think I semi-liked it. I remember some positive things about it.
You kept playing it.
I kept playing it, but it was kind of like you were probably good at me up.
You were probably good at some part of it.
I was good at hitting, and I could run. In camp. I was good, yeah.
What was your favorite position?
Hitting.
Smashing.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a later episode.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, hitting was cool. Pitching or second base is cool. Yeah. I played also in high school, but that's...
I could see you pitching, being a good pitcher.
Yeah. So, yeah, I played baseball as a kid, and then as soon as I hit high school, I got into basketball.
Were you already tall?
No. When did you
turn tall?
I turned tall in between sophomore and junior year of high school. I grew like almost a foot in that summer. And I came back.
That's when you turned tall again.
Yeah,
you were a tall again person.
That's when I was tall again.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Junior year got to be about 6 feet, and then I'm like 6'2" or something.
So then you're probably slender because you're just...
No, I was not slender. I was pretty beefy. I was a big guy.
I thought I saw a picture of you with your supercharged.
Oh yeah, that's after high school. That's like when I'm like 22. I'm very slender, like 22. Yeah. Like you can see my cheekbones.
Good looking guy. Yeah.
Very handsome.
Cool. So you played basketball.
Played basketball in high school. I also played center baseball, or soccer, forward, and golf. I played power forward in basketball. I was 00 for like 2 years in a row. I was like the biggest person.
Yeah.
I graduated in a class of 11 students at Don Pedro High School.
Okay, cool. 72 students in my graduating class.
Which wow.
Is also small, but not as small.
But that's like, that's a level.
Yeah, it's a level. I didn't play any sports in school.
You didn't play any sports?
Nope.
Did you play baseball as like a little kid?
I played T-ball.
T-ball, yeah. I started with T-ball.
Like a little bit. You know, I shot hoops. We had a basketball. We had a backboard and a net, regulation height, that we'd set up behind our house. And I used to shoot hoops there all the time. So I was good at that, just
so you can
playing
shoot.
Horse.
Horse?
You know? Yeah.
Did you ever play, like, pickup games with people in the street?
Well, when we played in P.E., I was usually pretty good.
Huh. We should play sometime.
Like a guard. Good guard. Give him the ball, three-point shot kind of. Thing, you know, because
nice.
No one's going to cover him because everyone's just like,
he's not tall.
Everyone's
enough.
Written him off. Yeah. I wouldn't go so far as to say another Iverson, but
you're all right.
Close.
We should play, man.
So you didn't play any football, huh?
No, there was no football available. My brother played football. Oh.
Would you have played if it was available?
Yes. Yeah.
Linebacker.
Quarterback.
I could see that.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm curious about you and games.
Okay.
I'm curious about, like, after you played a little T-ball and there was some hoops, what games did you play kind of at that and after?
In junior high?
Around that time, yeah.
Played this board game called Shadow Lord. And played it with my brother a lot, and it was fun. Played D&D, I think, starting around... D&D memories are pretty old, actually.
How old?
Well, I remember first time I ever was exposed to D&D, I was probably 4 or 5. And so D&D had just come out, like 1980 or something, around there. I was in Colorado, living in Colorado, hanging out with my cousins, and my cousin Jeff... He was into it, and he had the red basic set, the basic rules, basic rule set, and it just seemed so intriguing. Like, what? There's no board. You're just collaborating on a story, and it's like this medieval story with magic. It's like Lord of the Rings, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I hadn't read Lord of the Rings at that point, or The Hobbit. But it just, like, some of the artwork is one of the things that really stayed with me.
How long did you play D&D?
It's like 30 years or something. I mean, on and off.
Wow. You know? Would you say you're
long
good
breaks?
At it?
Probably the heyday of it was in college, at college, and then coming home from college.
When you were like,
we were running so many games, and there were so many DMs, and I would DM, and other people would DM.
And what is DM?
DM is Dungeon Mastering, also known as GMing, which is like Game Mastering. right? Now, what that means is you're the storyteller, or at least you provide the outline of the story that the characters fill out by playing the game.
Is it kind of like an RPG?
Yeah, it's a quote-unquote pen and paper game, right? You need a pen and a piece of paper. That's it. And hopefully your brain and higher cognitive functions. So you choose a character like a fighter or a wizard.
Like Legolas?
Yeah. You could play a, you know, a fighter or somebody who specializes with the bow and is an elf and has acrobatic abilities. So that's one of the funnest parts of the game is kind of statting out your character, figuring out who you're going to play, you know. So you stat out your character, so to speak. You make up a character. And that's the character whose persona you adapt. And that's, you know, there are a few schools of thought in D&D playing. You have to be in character all the time, right? So you're playing a wizard and you have to constantly act like your character would act. And then there's another style of playing where you can go in and out of character. But essentially, the game master has a kind of loose story structure in mind, like a context. Okay? So let's say you're playing a Legolas type character. The game master might say, okay, you can make up whatever history you want. You wake up in a forest, or, you know, you wake up on a slab in the desert. The game master is responsible for interpolating the actions of the characters and also providing them feedback on what's taking place around them.
Wow, that's very interesting. It's like very, very in-depth sort of fantasy and kind of creativity sort of coming together. That seems like I could see how that would be really appealing.
It's very much in line, when you think about it, it's very much in line with empathy and imagination. I mean, you can create a character who's a total reject. It doesn't have to be a hero. You can create a quote-unquote reject. You can create a character who's very weak. Through imagination, you create that character. Through empathy, you play that character. Yeah, man, it's like collaborative narrative game that's not zero-sum. And there's really no ending. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty cool thing.
So you can just keep going.
Yeah. I mean, the game master could end it at any time.
But could one... Are there some that have continued for decades?
Yeah, because there's no story. I mean, the story is whatever you create as the story.
Okay. I think I understand that.
Okay. If you're imaginative enough, you can always imagine a new context that the characters could be in, right? D&D's great. I mean, it gets a lot of shit. From religious groups and jocks, two of the main anti-D&D groups.
Now we're being joined now by our friends, Inferno and the temporarily named Loki. If you hear that, that's their wagging and their sniffing. We'll put up a photo of our new friend here. He's got... 3 really great legs and 1 super unique leg that doesn't touch the ground.
Yeah. 1/4 Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah. He can, like, stand up pretty good, pretty well, and he's uses his neck to, like, climb over things, and then his one good leg. He's adapted pretty well. We can sort of tell that he wasn't exercised very much because, like, the first time we walked him, he went, like, 100 feet and then was tired. Because it's like a lot of jumping in place. You're like jumping in place every step.
He's not so much walking. His back legs are walking, but his front
is jumping.
Leg is jumping.
And it's like his shoulder is huge. The one that's in charge.
You know, it's pretty cool because he's not moping.
No.
He's not depressed.
Not at all.
He's just happy.
Yeah, he's just super happy to be here.
That's a cool way to be.
Mm-hmm.
We have card games. You ever play any card games?
Mm-hmm.
Any card games you like?
I have had a lot of success with blackjack. Well, when I was a flight attendant, I was overnighting in Vegas before it was a base a lot, and so we stayed at Terrible's Hotel and Casino. And I'm definitely ahead.
I hear you have the best odds with blackjack.
I think that what the craps is the slightly better. They say.
And the British craps is different, right?
I think so. But I've never understood craps. I've never attempted craps. I have no interest in craps. It's my brain doesn't work that way.
I play enough craps every day.
But I'll play blackjack.
Usually one in the morning.
Ooh, that's a rough time.
One in the shower.
Blackjack, my way to go was like you go down with like $40 or $50. As soon as I doubled it, I quit. I was like, if I made 100%, even if it only took 25 minutes, I stop. And I was like, okay. And then I'd go like buy a steak and fucking have a beer and go to bed.
You have to have limits.
Yeah. And that's the way that it was cool. The people, like the pilots I'd fly with, and they'd be like, I see them going and going and going, and they're putting these hundreds and hundreds down, and they're like, I gotta go until it's gone. And I'm like,
yeah,
you're not gambling. That's not what you're doing.
Right. You're just pushing a button.
You're pushing a button to hit the dopamine response.
Yeah. Intermittent reinforcement.
Yeah. Yes. It doesn't even matter what it is. It doesn't even care if he wins. He just was going to go until his money was gone. Like, that was his objective.
Right. Doesn't matter whether I'm up or down.
It's just the dopamine response.
That's a zero sum game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how it works. That's how casinos work in that way.
And he's playing for zero, which is interesting.
But I was just like, if I double my shit, that's amazing. And so I would, and I'd leave.
Double it and walk away.
Walk away.
Yeah.
The double, I turn $100. I'm like, okay, bye. I'm not trying to be rich. I don't think you get rich there. That's not how that works. But I don't necessarily advocate gambling, but it's just like anything else, like coffee or shopping or sex or drugs. It has its things. Yeah, go ahead.
It can be an entertaining diversion.
Mm-hmm. I consider going to the casino that's a couple blocks away somewhat often. I haven't yet.
So blackjack.
Mm-hmm. Blackjack.
One of your card game fortes.
It's basically my only card game forte.
You ever play like Asshole or Go Fish?
Yes, those are great games. I really also like Bullshit.
Bullshit's pretty good.
Great. I like that game.
What about Magic, The Gathering? You ever play that?
No, I've seen documentaries on it, so I have a cursory knowledge, but I don't, I've never played it. When I was in high school, all my friends played video games. I liked my friends, and I just watched the video games. So we just hung out eating cereal, and I watched them play Final Fantasy VII for years. if I asked, if I was like, hey, I want to fucking try a thing, like, okay, fine, here, fight this person. And they let me do a little thing.
Because it wasn't your video game system? You were just at your friend's house?
I was at a friend's house hanging out. And they let me do something, and then they take it back. And I was like, okay, cool. And I just watched for hours. And then I didn't really play. So I didn't play Magic the Gathering. I didn't play Final Fantasy VII, really. I just watched it. So I kind of know what happened. I understand the importance of those games.
Did you play video games at all?
I liked Twisted Metal 2. Twisted Metal 2 was a really fun game for a long time. I played that on PlayStation 2.
Did you have a PlayStation 2?
I did.
Yeah, it's a pretty good system.
Yeah. I think it's technically still in the closet, actually. PS2.
Nice.
Twisted Metal 2 was cool. I played a lot of Gran Turismo 2. I still have like a memory card that has like a 900 horsepower twin turbo VR blah 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 that I build over years.
The racing game, right?
Yeah. You have to win money to buy parts. And so you could find these loopholes where you could win this certain race. You just keep winning that same race with this car that's overbuilt for the system, and then you get all this money and then you spend that on your other car. So that's kind of like a role playing car game that I really enjoyed. That was fun. So you could earn money to race to win stuff, and eventually I just put like millions of dollars into one just car for kind of fun, just because I was just messing around with the game, as you do.
There's a game that's like Car Mechanic Simulator.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I can't. That doesn't sound fun.
And it's like you own a garage, and people bring in sports cars and stuff, and you can actually piece by piece take it apart, diagnose it, put it back together.
Okay, that does sound cool.
It's pretty cool. Like, oh, there's something wrong in the, you know, the right front wheel. Something's wrong with it. You have to break it off. You know, take each piece off at a time. Figure out what the problem is. And replace the part or...
Is it semi-accurate to real life?
Yeah, I think it's very accurate.
Well, that's
that, and that's cool. Like its selling point is that it's very accurate.
Okay, that
it's
makes
pretty,
a lot of
yeah,
sense.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
That'd be like a game I think it'd be cool for like kids to play, right? So they actually learn something useful.
Yeah. Or like auto body class, you know?
Mm-hmm. Or anything that's actually accurate and fun.
Accurate, fun. Satisfies your curiosity. Keeps you in the flow space between challenge and reward and fluency, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it's teaching a real skill.
Right. Even better.
There's some of that with some of the guitar game things that there is, like with electronic drums. My friend Alex Blankovich, he has a electronic drum kit hooked up to like a drum game where you try to drum along to songs. And he has like hooked up to this fucking kick-ass big screen TV, and it's like super fun and cool. And he like plays along with songs, teaching him playing drums like as a video game, but he's literally playing on a real electronic drum kit. So that's
nice.
An interesting way of learning the drums. I play the drums and my brain doesn't go that way. I just hit them until it sounds good.
I want to know about the sake custom.
The sake custom, I understand, is when you drink sake with a friend, you never pour for yourself. Sake is always poured by the other. So that's the...
Like a reciprocal...
Mm-hmm. Reciprocal, like, it's almost like a shared responsibility and shared respect gradient. Did we end up finishing on games?
Yeah, I had one more point here.
Okay, I'd like to hear that.
Professional sports.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good topic. I like that topic.
I wanted to bring in games to see how they support empathy and imagination, right? Professional sports. How do they contribute to empathy and imagination if they do?
I think that there's something
important
to be said for seeing great physical accomplishments. Something for people of all ages to enjoy seeing tremendous athleticism. People love that. I think that there's something healthy.
And I love that, yeah.
I think that there's a way that improves society.
Yeah, I think people enjoy seeing feats of human achievement.
I agree. That's a good way of saying it, too.
I mean, it's this is the creme de la creme, the tip of the top of the performance.
These are people who are devoted their life to this athletic thing that, in many cases, really ends up having tremendous side effects physically over time. Many retired professional sports people suffer lifelong pain afterwards.
Mm.
That's pretty standard.
He traded for a bunch of money up front.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I think we could probably put this up there too. I think it's more than half squander it and go back to exactly where they were before. It's like a lot.
Like a lottery type thing.
Yep. And it's unfortunate. But I think that the capitalist sort of like money grabbing Bud Light cheerleader prescription drug commercial, like, it seems really ill at this point, like sick, not good. It feels, when I watch it, it's like, it just feels fake. It's like, who really talks like that? Nobody talks like that in real life, the way they talk, you know, on the sports shows, in between the sports and the things. Nobody talks like that.
Commercials, you mean?
Commercials and talking about the sport that is occurring. Well, it's just
like SportsCenter and stuff like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, they're not talking about anything of substance. They're paid to say what is appropriate to say, and they have a lot of makeup on, and it's like,
yeah,
that's not very interesting. That's not an appealing. That's not a warm feeling to watch. It's a different feeling.
It's true. It is very strange. It's like a sterile sports feeling.
Yeah. And the commercial's like, you can totally patriotic. Get this prescription drug. It'll totally solve all your problems. May cause anal bleeding, death, diarrhea, head trauma, cancer, seizures, explosion, trauma, pain, death, or suicide. It's like, okay, cool.
Now in baby diaper flavor.
Yeah.
Thanks again to Final Corp for supporting the episode. This is the second episode they've supported. Today it's just a quick shout out to Maltiase, the substance that takes on any property that you want it to. This is really a miraculous product, and brought to you by Final Corp. 50 different flavors of mayonnaise, over 50 years of experience. Final Corp, finally a corporation.
Finally a corporation for all your needs. Final Corp. It'll be fine. Okay, here's the top of the head topic. I had a psychedelic medicine experience last night.
Do tell.
Yeah, I was with two other people, and we took a psychedelic medicine, and we had a really cool healing conversation in a really like a gentle space.
How did you facilitate the gentle space? Were there any kind of ambient choices that you made?
Yeah, there was low, like the chandelier was real low. We had really low volumed, super technical death metal and black metal. Because
the always soothing.
We did. We had the other stuff on. Like, it got really creepily dark. Like,
yeah, I could see
found
that.
Some ambient stuff, but then someone else was like, oh, hey.
It's kind of innocuous if you turn it down pretty low. Because it's almost staticky, like.
And it keeps changing though, so it's always interesting at that lower volume, and it's not offensive, right? So there was I played, you know, puritanical, euphoric misanthropia from beginning to end, you know.
Here.
I played like Job for a Cowboy and The Contortionist and things like that, and just really groovy technical stuff, and it seemed really. It was like it was working. And, it was cool. We had, like, just really excellent, open-hearted conversation.
Did cuisine factor into the ambience at all?
Oh, absolutely. We had the lights low. We had the music on. We had, like, cool snacks for, my partner.
Munchies.
Had made a crock pot fajita situation that when the time was right, we warmed up the tortillas, and it was quite delightful.
Nice.
We had, like, snacks the whole time, and there was a nice beer at the end, and warm blankets and a heater, and then eventually we watched stand-up comedy. It's like, kind of end the night on, like, a funny note, you know, and it was...
What did you guys watch, specifically? Do you remember?
I'll have to check. I don't remember what it was, but I remember that being really, like, a nice way to finish it off, and it was just really quiet and mild, and it seemed really healing. Got a lot of cool stuff, like, realized. I mean, a lot of facial expressions in the room were like, oh man, that just makes sense, you know. So that was cool.
Like relief,
understanding,
epiphanies.
Yes. So yeah, that's a topic, and that was really rewarding and really cool, and I think consenting adults using a psychedelic medicine in their own place with preparatory tools, experience, knowledge. It seems silly that that's a criminal thing. That seems silly. Because it clearly improves everyone's lives, and it's all scientifically measured, and it's like, I don't know, it seems like that's a unfortunate thing. Like, I know that cannabis reaches closer to legalization.
Is it because these other drugs are synthesized?
Well,
unregulated.
I think that when marijuana becomes legal, after that's legal for a decade or so, people are start talking about mushrooms and peyote. I think that that'll probably also be able to enter the conversation, because they're just a fucking plant that you eat or drink. And the thing about lysergic acid dithiamide is LSA is in morning glory seeds, and that's how you can synthesize it. So it's like, it seems like these these things have their place. It seems like if one latches on to one in a way that doesn't serve them or takes away from their lives or harms the relationships or makes them isolate, anything like that is a signal that it's not no longer medicine for you. But if it helps you to build relationships, it helps you to get your needs met and works in a way that allows you to feel relief, I think that's really something we should talk about.
But it can't just be anything that meets your needs, satisfies your desires.
Why, what do you mean?
Well, the extreme case, the serial killer. We can't just say, oh, well, it meets his needs, therefore it's a good thing.
Yeah, I think that there would need to be like some sort of like cohesive statement that would say, like, as you process meeting your own needs, make sure that you are not inhibiting anyone else's needs, including autonomy and what everything else.
Right. A compact of needs.
Like, if you are preventing someone from meeting a need, then that means that you need to find a new way to meet your need.
How about the contract of needs?
The
contract of needs.
Contract of needs.
So it's almost like every point of the contract would have to admit its opposite and be open to it and somehow deal with it.
Yes.
Leave no one's primary needs trampled upon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sully no one's fantasies if those fantasies do not impinge on the needs of others.
Right, I like that. See? I like that. Right on top of the head. How about that? That's good.
Yeah, that was a cool tune. Do you have a name for that tune?
Dueling Pianos.
Have you ever invented a game?
Oh, totally.
Really?
Oh yeah, like we just...
Was it a card game? Was it a board game? Was it a mind game?
We invented, like, fantasy games. Like, have to figure this problem out, or this bad guy comes in, we just make up a new game.
Games of the imagination in the backyard.
Mm-hmm. Like, Mario and I invented these games, but, like, I haven't seen him since I was, like, I don't know, 10 years old. Be interesting to talk to him about those games. I wonder if he remembers. I'm sure he does. Just being super creative.
Do you remember any of the games you invented?
It was just, like, we had to figure out problems, and I was, like, the strong destroyer one, and he was, like, the wizard guy.
Like a one-off game.
Mm-hmm. And we just invented as we went.
It sounds like D&D.
It basically sounds like, yeah, that's what it sounds like. But we were standing up outside, moving around.
Yeah. You know about LARPing, right?
Uh-huh. It was, I guess it was kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. I have nothing against it.
It was just two people.
Yeah.
We decided, if you hear that little crackling noise, we decided that it was time for a fire.
So you invented a few games as a kid. Anything as an adult, as an adult man?
I would invent, like, exercises on the Bowflex. That was interesting. Mm. That's kind of like that. Like there's the book, we have this Bowflex, and then you can, like, do the things in the book, and there's, like, a lot of stuff. But then I would, like, sit on it weird and do some other thing.
Oh, okay.
And invent some other... That was fun. That was fun to do. Did that when I lived in San Jose.
That's cool. Yeah.
Like, I made a boat trailer.
Mm.
Like, my grandpa, mostly, and me a little bit, built this, like, 7-foot by 4-foot wooden paddle boat. Like, he ordered the plans, like a mail order thing, and then he bought the lumber, and then we bent the lumber, and we assembled it all and painted it and, like, took it out to the bay and paddled around. It was like, whoa, it floats, and it was cool.
It worked.
So we did that together. Mostly him, but I helped.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Later, my friend Jason Della Chiesa and I built a trailer, and my grandpa helped a little. We built a trailer to tow behind our bikes this boat, and so we did. We actually... First incarnation melted from the heat and, like, just fell to the ground before we even got there, just a few feet away, and died. But then the second incarnation, we had better wheels, and it was like, it worked all the way. We used it several times. We towed behind our bikes in Redwood City to the bay.
So more building things than building games.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever build games?
I've had some ideas for games. Remember, my brother and I, when we were kids, we were into, you know, these role-playing games and D&D and so forth. And there was one that was kind of more sci-fi. It was called Car Wars. And it was all about car combat and stuff. And we ended up kind of creating our own spin-off, if you will.
Car Wars?
We were, like, inspired by Car Wars to create our own role-playing game. And it was called Cyber World.
Cyber World.
It's called Cyber World.
Is it brought to you by Final Corp?
Might as well be. And, it's funny because we statted out, you know, we wrote the rule book, like the introductory rule book with all the stats and all that shit, just like a pen and paper role-playing game introductory book. And that was pretty funny. I think it still exists somewhere. Copies of that.
Awesome.
That we typed up on a typewriter.
A typewriter.
And recently I came up with another game. I was pitching it to my friend Mark. You know lawn darts, right?
Yes.
Okay. Imagine dice and horseshoes combined. So you're rolling.
That sounds pretty fun.
So you're throwing these, like, oversized dice, like 6-sided, 4-sided, into a target area. And based upon where you land and what number you get different penalties or bonuses.
Oh. Is there skill involved? Can you, like, toss it a certain way?
There's skill involved in that it's like horseshoes. You want to get closest. You want to get the bullseye. So rolling, you know, getting a bullseye counts a certain way, but also what you roll on the dice counts a certain way. So there's skill and there's chance. And it's something that you could set up in any field, any park.
Huh.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
Sounds pretty fun.
It's pretty cool.
Sounds pretty fun.
I made prototypes of the dice out of cardboard.
You invented this.
I think so.
We should play this game, man.
Copyright 2015, Final Corp.
We own the rights.
I'll post some photos of the dice that I made.
Great.
I
want to play that game, man.
Like, imagine horseshoes, right? Or bocce ball or something.
Which I like.
You're trying to get as close to the pin as you can.
Uh-huh.
But the dice roll gives you pluses or minuses.
I think people are going to be holding the dice like they're going to get their thumb on the one, right? And they're going to be, like, trying to get it enough spins.
Hopefully.
To flip over and the, you know, that's what I do.
Hopefully it's that popular.
If I get good at it, I was doing some some throwing hatchet.
Mm.
Last time I was camping, I was landing them, you know, good eight to ten feet away. I was landing them. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
I wonder if I could use that skills in your game.
Hmm.
So, Cool.
Yeah. Thanks for asking me about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Games, good topic. We covered a lot of ground on that.
We did. That was cool.
That was really cool.
Thank you. Now we're going to be experiencing something called a Wicked Stick.
Do you have any topics scraping at the inside of your brain?
Yeah, it's the dogs, I guess. This interesting
dogs,
thing.
Pets, these, or
these
dogs?
Guys. Well, these guys.
Inferno and...
The temporarily named Loki. When we adopted him, his name was Habit, and he kind of still responds to that, but I don't enjoy... No one enjoys that name. So we're trying to think of a way to be regal and honorary to him, as well as something proud and respectful about his challenge. He has four legs, but one of them doesn't touch the ground. It's kind of in this. It's kind of over his heart. Kind of holds his right hand over his heart.
Mm-hmm. Post a link.
And he's a
picture.
He's a super sweet guy. All he wants to do is cuddle and be your friend. And he's figuring out the bathroom rules and stuff. He's getting better. But he's like about a year. We adopted him. And Inferno is having an interesting time allowing him in. Inferno's like, "Murr."
How old's Inferno again? Inferno is your...
About six. He's about six.
Six-year-old dog taking in a one-year-old dog.
Yeah. One-year-old handicapped dog who's totally submissive.
He has a lame front paw. That's what it is. Yeah. But again, the dog doesn't lament his fate. He's just living life. Moment to moment.
And it's interesting to see their social dynamics, because he, the new guy, was just looking for friendship and trying to build relationships. And
he kind of rules the roost, man.
He rules the roost? What do you mean?
Inferno might need another dog to be, even if the dog is a beta, to be the top dog.
I mean, maybe so, but it's like Inferno is like kind
know.
Of...
You would know better than I would.
Well, I don't know, but Inferno is... It's interesting because he's kind of like trying to defend himself only when Loki is trying to play with him. When Loki's trying to like get him to play inside the house, he's like... He snarls at him. But when they're outside, he just sort of walks away. It doesn't really bother him, but it's almost like it's kind of crowded inside, and so he doesn't feel that bond.
Mm-hmm. And Loki's like, is Loki just trying to play?
Yeah. Loki just wants to love everything he can see. I think Inferno's shyness is being expressed through some fear/aggression. Because he's good with other dogs always. He's like great on walks, he's super well trained. By that I mean he responds to verbal communication. And super cool. And it's like when this new puppy is playing with him, he just sort of pushes him off. I don't understand why.
Has he ever lived? He's lived with a cat, right?
Yeah, he was raised with a cat, and he's lived with dogs.
He's lived with other dogs.
And they always were okay, but no one was as cool as Bear. When Bear was here, that was his favorite.
Why was that?
Well, because Heather and Curtis went to Hawaii, and I had Bear, and Bear
why do you think Inferno liked Bear so much?
I think I don't know. I that's something I don't understand. Bear is this cool big chocolate lab.
Does it have to do maybe with the mass? Have you seen? I mean, Border Collies, for example, very commanding dogs, but they're kind of small, or medium. Do you think dogs respond to other dogs in terms of mass in a hierarchical way?
I think they do sometimes. I think mass definitely plays a part in the hierarchy. It's hard for a chihuahua to overtake a German Shepherd.
And that's where the idea of charisma comes in, because you could, in human terms, you could be the smaller guy and have charisma and still be the leader, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that obtains in the animal kingdom?
Well, partially, because I could definitely see, like, a dog who's Loki's size, he's like 45 pounds. If he had the right charisma, he could be the boss of Inferno, who's 75 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
He could, and there's enough leeway there, but there is an end point. But it's a crossover.
Mm. Gradient, you might say. Listening.
Oh, that's a great song, man.
Thank you.
So cool. How'd you record that?
It was a GarageBand special, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you do all live instruments?
Yeah. The drums were programmed, sequenced.
So, I have a topic, and this topic is one that could go several directions, and I'm curious about insight about how to really define this, and I'm wondering what my opinion is, and what Aubrey's opinion is, and that is freedom.
Hmm. For me, it almost harkens back to the contract of needs. You would be free to meet your needs, as long as they didn't impinge on the needs of others.
Yeah, that's a pretty kick-ass answer to that question. I like that answer. That's a nice whole answer because it both describes it occurring and the sustainability of it. Hmm. One time I was on stage in the city and we had just screened Zeitgeist Moving Forward. And it was a packed house, and people were asking questions about freedom. They were, like, talking about Zeitgeist Movement and the Venus Project and freedom. And they're like, well, what if we get these circular cities, and then how's our freedom in there? You know, kind of a question.
Mm. Are you a prisoner if you're on the little floating island?
Right, like,
sustainable.
If you get a sustainable city occurring, are you trapped? Or something. And I was like, I suppose the main difference to what I'm talking about is that we have it's emergent, so it changes. So that if that were to be discovered, you would input that information as the sovereign individual into the whole collective as this is what I'm experiencing. And it will be inputted into the probable possibilities of needs meeting, and we'd find a way to meet the need.
Who's the arbiter of the needs meeting?
Arbiter of the needs meeting is the resources of the planet. What is the carrying capacity of the planet sustainably? That is the arbiter. Like, how much can we use of what? How quickly? There's a finite.
What do we have? How do we use it?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot, but it's finite. So just understand how much there is. That's the... And them's the rules.
So freedom is kind of is wrapped up in sustainability for you. Or
yeah.
Freedom is part of... Sustainability is part of freedom.
Yeah, I think either way it works just fine. Do you
freedom.
Think that these dogs are free?
Free of love? No. Free of charge? No. Could they just walk off into the forest? I mean, yes, they could do that.
Yeah, we could be on a hike and they could just be like, fuck this, and just keep going. It's possible.
I think the love affair has gone on so long between human beings and canines.
Yeah.
It's powerful symbiotic. Friendship. It's symbiotic at this point.
Powerful friendship, yeah. I think it's likely that dogs and things like dogs will probably play a role in human evolution pretty much indefinitely. I think that they're going to be a long-term partner. Maybe not everywhere, but at least in pockets.
Do you think they're free?
I think that they have variations of freedom depending on the kind of power structures that they live in. I think that a dog that is raised in a house that's like a really very, very strict, only positive reinforcement where everything is a treat. The dogs are basically fed with individual bites all day on trying to get them to do what you want. So they're kind of they begin to learn to gamble because sometimes they don't get the treat when they do the thing, but that's how they're getting their food basically.
Intermittent reinforcement again?
Yeah, intermittent food-based reinforcement. It's like it's a channel of communication. It is a way of having that, if some things work. But I think that a much, much more clearer, cleaner communication is energetic communication, where praise and limitations are kind of both used gently. And I mean, I guess you praise to the moon, but the limitations are only like what your needs are. So you kind of develop your own sovereign needs. Like, I have a need to not have somebody poke at me while I'm eating dinner or something like that. Like, you can set boundaries to, like, don't look, you know, go over there or whatever. And I think that seems like a version of healthy.
That seems like a version of freedom.
Yeah. So, like, yeah. But could Inferno, like, storm off into the woods and hunt for animals? Like, he could, but I don't think he will.
Mm. Freedom flavored cheese fries, now from Final Corp. Cheese, Subsidiary Corp, Cheese Corp.
They're free until you pay. Free from Final Corp. Pay it now.
Free disease ridden Cheetos like corn snacks. Nice teaser.
Fun song, you know?
It's the first song on our new album.
What's our album called?
The Album for Empathy and Imagination.
Oh, I think it is. Dang it, I think it is.
All right, thanks to Final Corp again for bringing us this episode and sponsoring us for all these many, 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 many weeks that we've been on the air. So this was episode 3. We talked about buttons or zippers.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah. Huh? We did.
And the context is important, both of those. We talked about Joe Rogan Experience. We talked about school games. Games. We talked about games a lot.
Yeah, like games, you know.
Games, board games, card games.
Sports games.
Sports games, pen and paper role-playing games, like D&D. We talked about D&D a lot. We talked about dogs. We talked about blackjack. We talked about nonviolent parenting. Mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about professional sports a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about freedom.
Mm-hmm.
We're still kind of working out the kinks, how to do this and mm-hmm. how to make it, you know, sound good and be entertaining and be concise. So thanks for sticking with us.
Mm-hmm.
All the listeners out there.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate your support.
And we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Empathy and imagination.